Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DigiTide Solutions Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ernst & Young LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Diwakar Pingle, Head Investor Relations Advisory, Partner Strategy and Transactions from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good day, and ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DigiTide Solutions Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. This is the first earnings call post our listing. Please note that this call is being recorded. Today on the call, we have with us Gurmeet Chahal, CEO and Executive Director of DigiTide, and Suraj Prasad, Chief Financial Officer. Let me outline the agenda for today's call. We will begin with a brief overview of the company, its Q4 and FY25 performance, after which we will open the floor for Q&A. During the call, we will make forward-looking statements. These statements consider the environment we see as of today and carry risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from those expressed in today's call. We do not undertake to update any forward-looking statements made on this call. With that said, I'll now turn over the call to Gurmeet Chahal for his opening remarks. Over to you, Gurmeet.
Diwakar, thank you. A very good evening or good morning, depending on where you're dialing in from. As Diwakar said, this is our first call post the listing. Very, very excited and looking forward to our continued discussions going forward. So from a Q4 perspective, so first of all, like I said, it's our first inaugural call. This is a very significant milestone that actually marks the beginning of DigiTide's focused growth journey, building on a very strong foundation which was established when we were part of the Quess Corp. And now it gives us the opportunity to chart our own strategic course forward. The demerger was guided by a clear vision to unlock value, enhance the focus on the areas that we choose for, and thereby create long-term value for our customers, employees, and all our stakeholders. While we may be a newly listed company, we do bring a rich heritage of operational rigor and deep client trust, which has been our differentiator. Before we move to the business update, I'll just take a moment to share our roadmap for sustainable and profitable growth for the coming years that we call the 3x3x3 strategy. So this is a very disciplined approach designed to deliver three times revenue growth by FY31 by concentrating our efforts across three strategically selected verticals in each geography where we are playing, supported by three integrated service lines which are growing faster than the market that can together create value for our clients and stakeholders. This focus has been guided by our recent portfolio decisions. We've systematically evaluated our portfolio and have identified and started to exit some low-value non-strategic contracts so that as a team, we can concentrate on high-value opportunities that align with our growth objectives. This portfolio, rather these portfolio optimization efforts, will complete by Q2, and the starting impact is reflected in our Q4 financials because Q4 is the first quarter where we actually started this process. while these decisions require some short-term adjustments, they position us to deploy capital and management focus more effectively for long-term value creation. You know, now I did talk about the 3x3x3 strategy. That strategy is supported by 5 key execution pivots, and I'll quickly talk about each. First and foremost, we've strengthened our leadership team with, you know, experts from industry who bring deep experience and in the verticals that we have chosen for. This leadership foundation ensures strong execution discipline and strategic alignment across all our business units. Second, we are making very focused and targeted investments in attracting and developing high caliber talent across the organization while we continue to foster our performance driven culture. Our focus is not just on hiring. It goes beyond that. It goes to creating an environment that promotes innovation, client success, and sustainable growth. In fact, you would have seen that we've been voted the 19th great place to work. It's an honor, and it's something which we are very passionate about. The third element of our execution pivot is organization structure, which eliminates inefficiencies and creates integrated teams that can deliver comprehensive solutions to our clients. And as we have stated, it's an AI-first solution mandate that we have aligned ourselves to. This new structure enhances our responsiveness to the market needs while improving operational leverage and decision-making effectiveness. The fourth is around technology and AI integration. We are very consciously embedding advanced technologies, particularly AI and automation, across our service delivery model. This AI-first approach enhances both productivity and service quality while enabling us to offer differentiated solutions that will create sustainable competitive advantage for us. So from that perspective, we see AI as value accretive, and that's why we've gone all in on AI. Fifth element is we will pursue selective acquisitions and partnerships that complement our organic growth strategy, those that expand our capabilities and target verticals, and of course, accelerate the market penetration. Our approach to inorganic growth is going to be very disciplined and focused on the strategic fit rather than chasing scale alone. Now I'm going to talk about quarter four. We delivered a consolidated revenues of 733 crores. Remaining stable sequentially while achieving the 6% year-on-year growth. The EBITDA for the quarter was 11.2%, which reflects our ongoing investments in leadership capabilities and market positioning alongside the exceptional costs of the demerger. Our international geographies now contribute to 36% of the revenues, with a 7% growth year-on-year, and our domestic business grew at a 5% year-on-year rate as well. As we have stated, our intent is to grow our international revenues faster, and I think we are already seeing that. Now let me talk about the two segments, the business BPM or business process management. During the quarter, our BPM segment demonstrated continued momentum with 9% year-on-year growth and sequential stability. Our customer lifecycle management business maintained a healthy growth of 3% sequentially and 16% year-on-year, while our non-voice business showed resilience with 2% sequential growth and 2% year-on-year increase. The tech and digital segment. This segment now contributes 27% of our total revenue. Given the reset that we have started, we experienced a 1% sequential decline and 2% year-on-year decline. Like I said, this is due to the exit from some non-core, lower margin business areas which are not in our focus. The areas that we are focusing on, which is data, digital engineering, platform and services, that segment continued to demonstrate momentum with a 9% growth year on year. So the areas that we want to focus on has grown 9% year on year. Coming to the full year performance, on a full year basis, our revenues grew at 6.3%. So today we are at 2,875 crores with an EBITDA margin of 14%. Our adjusted PAT stood at 133 crores for the year after accounting for exceptional cost of 25 crores. For the full year, our BPM revenue stands at 2,104 crores with a growth of 14.2% and an EBITDA margin of 16.2%. The tech and digital business saw a decline and now we are at 770 crores. This decline was a result of our portfolio revisit, which I talked about. The EBITDA for this segment stands at 12.1%. Q4, we maintained our strong sales momentum. We onboarded 35 new clients and we have secured 568 crores in TCV during the quarter. So a very good quarter for us from a sales perspective. Our client portfolio remains well diversified with balanced concentration levels that support both stability and growth. With that overview, I'll now turn the call over to my colleague Suraj Prasad, our CFO, and he'll walk us through a detailed review of our financial performance. Thank you very much. Over to you, Suraj.
Thank you, Gurmeet. And good evening, everyone. I'm really pleased to present our first financial results as an independent publicly listed company. I'll guide you through our quarter four and full year fiscal 25 performance, and I'll highlight key financial themes that shaped the year. I'll also provide some updates on our capital structure and key operating metrics. So starting with the fourth quarter results, the revenue stood at 733 crores, remaining flat sequentially and a 6% increase year on year. Our EBITDA was 82 crores, achieving a margin of 11.2%. This sequential decrease of 391 basis points, like what Gurmeet alluded to, is primarily due to the strategic portfolio adjustments we had undertaken to optimize our future business model. And we planned exit from some of our core, non-core businesses, and also the investment made in building our leadership and sales engine during this year. Adjusted PAT for the quarter was 28 crores, 16.4% sequential growth. For the full fiscal year, we delivered revenue of 2,875 crores, 6.3% year-on-year. EBITDA for the year is 401 crores with a 14% margin. This is down 153 basis points year-on-year, and the profit after tax for the year was 108 crores. As Gurmeet mentioned, adjusted for the 25 crores in demerger-related expenses, the adjusted PAT is 131 crores at a 4.6% margin, a year-on-year decrease of 146 basis points. So after our comprehensive evaluation of our business portfolio, we initiated the ramp down of certain non-core low-efficiency businesses starting from Q4. So our Q4 financials include charges related to some of the receivables which we have taken accelerated charges on and any potential obligations from some of these discontinued businesses. We have also accelerated our extended credit loss policies to accommodate these changes in our business portfolio. Both our quarterly and full year results reflect our selective investments in capabilities, talents, and offerings, and our new corporate structure as an independent listed company. These investments would continue over 26 and putting us in good stead to pursue our long-term strategy as a $1 billion organization. Exceptional items primarily consist of the professional expenses towards demerger and some of the write-downs towards the discontinued businesses, which you can find in our financials. Moving on to the segment updates. On the BPM segment, we delivered a top line of 537 crores during the quarter, a 0.5% sequential increase and a 9.3% year-on-year growth. EBITDA for the quarter was 77 crores at 14.4% margin. And this EBITDA contraction on quarter-on-quarter is, apart from this investment I alluded to earlier, is also due to the ACL provisions, which we have now revised our flow rates based on the demerged company. In Q3, it was part of the conglomerate flow rate structure. Now we have revisited that and made it digitized specific. Our tech and digital segment recorded a revenue of 196 crores, a decline of 1.4% quarter-on-quarter and 2.2% year-on-year. The EBITDA margin at 9.2% for the quarter. Quarter 4, we faced some headwinds in our U.S. geography where some of our discretionary spending customers had put some projects on hold, but this is in more in line with the broader industry trends. On a full-year basis, tech and digital now contributed to 27% of our business. And from a geographic perspective, international revenue now contributes to 36% of our portfolio. As we mentioned earlier, these are the two growth vectors for us in our 1 billion journey. Moving on to corporate updates. One of the core capital structure priorities has been reduction of debt, underscoring our commitment to maintaining a very healthy balance sheet and exercising disciplined cash management. As of the year end, our gross debt stands at 63 crores with a net cash position of 121 crores. Our working capital remains very healthy with a DSO of 17 days, a reduction of 6 days from the previous quarter. Our operating cash flow for the year is 368 crores, representing a healthy 81% conversion to EBITDA. But I must highlight that we have also had a tax refund during this quarter for one of our subsidiaries. If you adjust for that, our OCF to EBITDA will be 74% for the year. With this, I'll hand over back to the moderator and happy to take your questions during this call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Krisha Tripani from Archer Advisors. Please go ahead.
You, I believe I'm audible. Congratulations to the team and the company.
Excuse me, ma'am. Your voice is not very clear. Your voice is not very clear.
Let me try. I'm talking a little louder. Is it fine, sir?
No, it's very muffled, actually.
1 minute, sir. I'm on the phone only. Is it better?
Yeah, slightly better.
Great. So just wanted to congratulate the team and the company for the successful listing. So we have been hearing this AI strategy and AI is the buzzword today. So just wanted your thoughts on this AI-first strategy. How Digitide is looking at the AI ecosystem as a whole? And what do you believe that are the opportunities, risks are there to consider from the rise of AI? This is my first question.
Okay. Thank you so much. And ma'am, sorry, I didn't get your name.
It's Krisha, sir.
Krisha. So first of all, thank you. Yes, we are very excited as a listed company now. So your question about AI and how we are looking at AI. First and foremost, we believe AI is going to be value accretive for us. You know, on one hand, it allows us to be more efficient, manage our pyramids better, manage our operations better, reduce our attrition, so which kind of adds to our bottom line, and then it allows us to differentiate our services and get into some areas where we may not have been there earlier. Also, you know, if you look at the pyramid of AI, about 10% effort goes into building the AI use case, but 30 to 40% effort goes into enabling the right data under it. And then 50% effort is all about process optimization. Given our heritage in the process and data, I mean, that's where we are seeing a lot of value getting unlocked, and that's an area where we can really grow our revenues from. So that's why we are very, very firm believer that AI is going to be value accretive for us. That's why we have gone all in. Second part of your question, how are we looking at AI? Look.
Is it about the risk?
I'll cover the risk also. First, let me walk you through the second part of your question, that how are we looking at AI? So, we are looking at AI from three lenses. You know, the first lens is the lens of the industry. So, AI for insurance will be different for AI from banking, different from AI from healthcare, right? So first is the lens of the industry. Second is the lens of the process. AI for customer care versus AI for finance and accounting versus AI for HRO. To give you an example, for the CLM or customer care business, we now have in production agentic AI solution. We call it QBuddy, which complements our human agents, which becomes a guide to them, becomes a mentor and an assistant. And we are seeing remarkable results from that. The third lens is the lens of the persona. AI for CIO, AI for CFO, AI for Chief Marketing Officer. Their needs are different. Their expectations from AI are different. So we, like I said, we've gone all in. These are the three pivots. In fact, we have launched a brand for our AI offerings. The brand for AI is Pulse.ai. So all our AI offerings will be under the Pulse.ai brand going forward. So that's the second part. So I talked about VC AI value accretive. I talked about how we are approaching AI. Third question is, do we see AI as a risk? The short answer is no. Like I said, we see it as a value accretive, but you know, we have done a sensitivity analysis on our portfolio. BPM is a portfolio where there's an opinion that AI might be a disruptor. However, BPM is not just one kind of a business. One has to peel the onion and look at deeper. See, majority of our BPM business is platform-led or BPaaS, where we have stickiness with the customers and we are actually embedding AI proactively into our platforms, be it the collections platform, be it the insurance platform that we have for the international markets. That's one thing. On the pure customer care, on pure CLM, 60% of our revenues are revenue enablement, where we are actually enabling the revenue of our customers, you know, where the human touch is critical. So, and that's where we have actually implemented the QBuddy, which can be an assistant to our human agents. So 40%, which is actually pure customer care, there also the industries that we play in, healthcare, fast growth tech, you know, for them the human touch is imperative. Human touch is critical. We are not taking low-end customer care calls on telecom or some of the other industry verticals. We are doing work which requires context, which requires human touch, which requires empathy. I mean, if you're dealing with a healthcare, with someone who is in need of healthcare, you need that empathy, which only a human can provide. And this segment of our business, even if I look at the grand scheme of things, this is less than 10%. So theoretically, the exposure is less than 10% of our portfolio, but there also, because of the nature of the work and the kind of industries we are in, we believe it's not vulnerable to AI. And in any case, we are proactively making the investments to make it more robust to already get the benefits of AI, which we pass on to our customers. I hope that answers your question.
It does, sir, and that was really, really helpful and encouraging to know this. Just one more clarification and question is that in the presentation and in fact in your opening remarks also, you have mentioned that you have kind of completed hiring of key leadership. Can you throw some light and more color on what kind of a skill set you believe that you have brought into the system and how you believe that you can plan to build this going forward?
Okay. Thank you. That's a great question, because leadership is the foundational, element for successful strategy and execution. So, it's a stated goal that today, while our data and technology business is 27%, by financial year 31, we want it to 40% of our revenue, and then we will be $1 billion. So clearly, that's one area where we have added talent across the organization. Let me give you a few examples. So our chief revenue officer, his name is Saket Bhatnagar. He is based in Chicago. He joins us from AWS. He was running the financial services business for AWS Professional Services. Prior to that, he was with Accenture. So he comes with deep technology experience, and this is not the experience in the legacy technology, it's in the modern, cloud native technology. Mohan, who runs our data and technology practice and delivery, he is a veteran from Wipro, and prior to that Accenture, comes with 20 plus years of experience. And then both Saket and Mohan have built their teams from global teams from companies which are deep in technology and talent that has been selling the new age data cloud kind of skills. So that's one example. Second is, look, we are in the business of people, So the Quest Group CHRO, Ruchi Aluwalia, she is now our CHRO, digitized CHRO. Because this business is all about people, and that's why we are very, very passionate about the great place to work and being in the top 25. We were actually number 19, much higher than some of our bigger peers, is a testament to our strategy on talent and leadership. We are all about execution, right? So a significant piece of our business is BPM. It's a at-scale business, 2,000 crore plus. We've hired Natarajan Lakshman, Nat, he goes by Nat, from Accenture. He brings deep operations and delivery capabilities, and he will be looking at the portfolio end-to-end, which allows our business leaders like Nazar to focus on creating value for our customers. Nazar runs our India business. We've hired our head of AI strategy, Sandeep Malhotra. He joins us from Coforge and HCL. Again, 20 plus years of experience, deep technology. He's been doing this kind of work for the last couple of years. So those are some examples of the kind of talent we have brought on board, which is aligned with our long-term strategy of growth, continuing our focus on customer excellence. I mean, look, our net promoter score is one of the highest in the industry at 68. So we want to continue that. And then as we are building new capabilities, we've got the new leaders who are then hiring their teams under them. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. That does. And thank you very much and wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, gentlemen. And thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have one request. First of all, it was your presentation and it was very helpful to us to understand our communities in the first phone call. I would request that I would like to read out two questions which may be interrelated so that at the stage you can reply on that. Is that with your permission I can go ahead, sir?
Yes, Sanjay. Thank you. Please go ahead. Your voice breaks in between, so if you can be closer to the phone, it will be very helpful.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm audible, I suppose. Yeah. Hello?
Yes, Sanjay.
Yeah. So what are the shifts happening from traditional IT service model to AI and how the company plans to adapt it? And do management plan to create in-house expertise in AI? That was my first question. My second question, should I continue the second or should I wait for your reply?
So Sanjay, like I explained, you know, the how we are aligning to the new shift is through that three-tier model, taking into view the industry nuances, the process supporting, and then the underlying enterprise work areas that are involved. Mm-hmm. So that's how we have aligned our AI strategy. Obviously, it requires a deep understanding of the process and data, which we have, and then building the AI use cases. Now, are we doing this in-house? It's a mix. You know, we already have certain tools, accelerators, which where we have enhanced them with AI. Second, we have built some cloud or AI native applications. Third, we are also partnering, you know. There are a clutch of startups which have come up with really good products. We are taking advantage of those. We are bringing the industry wrapper on top of it. So it's a combination.
That's good. My second question was, sir, what is the mix of service revenue and product subscription or license revenue? And what are the share of fixed rate contract or hourly rate contract to revenue?
Okay. So you had two questions. I mean, look, the platform business is in our BPM business, right, which is the BPaaS. So between the BPaaS and or the platform-led versus non-platform-led, it's like 55-45%, okay? On the contracts, majority of our contracts, almost 80% plus of our contracts are either managed services or fixed price, and then we have about 15-20% which are time and material.
Right. So coming back to FY26, you have cited some optimism for the 3x3 verticals what you showed up on and the growth trajectory which you lined up. So FY26 is a top line growth what we need to achieve to for the target. What Q&Q trajectory underpins that, and are you already booking deals to support it? And continuing that question, what share of FY26 growth will come from tech and digital versus BPM? And do you have any KPI for new logo digital wins that we can track?
Sanjay, unfortunately, as you were speaking, the line got very muffled. I did not follow your question completely.
See, what is the my question was for FY26, the growth, how Q&Q trajectory you underpin that are you already booking deals to support it? What the deals we have already booked in which supports the optimism? And what share of FY26 growth will come from tech and digital versus BPM?
Right. Okay. So look, why we are optimistic is we've seen, if you see it, the quarter four, you know, we've done a 568 crores of TCV booking. And even in quarter one, we are having a very good sales year so far. So that's where the optimism is coming from. As regards, you know, look, this is the year where we have started the reset also. So fundamentally, the percentage mix in FY26 will not be materially different, you know, from where we are today between BPM and tech and data and tech, which is 73-27. So it will not be materially different. However, when we exit the quarter four, we will start seeing the acceleration on the data and tech business after the reset. Like I said, the areas that we have chosen to focus, they grew 9% year on year, you know. So that's where the encouragement is coming from.
Right. Sir, should we model any further demerger related or legacy write-offs in FY26, or is the cleanup completed?
So the cleanup, the optimization effort, as you can imagine, we are a fairly large business, right? So we started in all earnest in quarter four, and like I mentioned, by quarter two, this should be taken care of.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please restrict your questions to each per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from Ankit Dharamshi from RNM Capital Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Ankit, yes, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have a follow-up question on the profitability. So our EBITDA margin compared to Q3 that we used to publish as a console in press have increased. I mean, you told that there are some write-offs from the legacy business, which will be completed by Q2. So what should be the steady state EBITDA margin for Digitide going forward? And our working capital is now 20% of the business. So is this what will remain? I mean, 70 days sales outstanding? How should we read it? Or there will be some improvement going ahead?
Yeah. We've been consistent in giving the guidance that in FY26, overall, we should see 100 to 150 basis point dip, and then we start scaling back, given all the investments that we are making for the long term. So that's on the margin profile. Obviously, first half, the second half of the year will be better versus first half. And on your second question, yes, the day sales outstanding is an area of focus for us. Today we are at about 70 days, both billed plus unbilled, and that's something that we want to bring down, and you will see positive movement in that going further.
Any ballpark figure? I mean, what is that we are targeting to end or close our FY26 with?
On the DSO, see, I think we should expect a 5-7% improvement in that at a minimum, which helps us in improving our OCF to EBITDA as well.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Dipesh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to understand about the order booking and the revenue conversion kind of thing. Our order booking is lower than our revenue this quarter. Because I think we have a limited data available. Can you help us understand how these two play out in our business? Order book and order book to revenue conversion. And if you can help us understand book to bill kind of ratio, how to understand that and what will be the pipeline? Thanks.
Yeah. So if I followed your question clearly, you said what is our booking to bill conversion, right? And your second question was how are our pipeline looking at? Yeah. So our pipeline right now is at 2.2 times our revenue. So it's a very, very healthy pipeline. This is the global pipeline that I'm talking of. And typically, you know, any contract that any business that we pick up, if we pick up a business in the first quarter, the revenue conversion is about 40%, right? After taking into account the transition. And then for second quarter, it's about 30%, which is the industry standard. So we are actually in the same bracket.
So my question was more about the order intake. Your order intake is, let's say, lower than your revenue current quarter. So if I look at it, you have booked 568 crore order booking and revenue was 733. So roughly around 80% is the number. Does it imply your revenue growth will have a deceleration? And that is what I try to understand. Book to bill generally remain above one. In your case, it is below one. If you can give some time, how?
Okay. Sorry, I misunderstood your question. So look, if you see historically, I mean, when we share our bookings, we don't include the renewals, etc. This is only new bookings, you know, which is EN and NN as the industry calls it. We don't include the renewals. If we include the renewals, then it is definitely above one. So that's why we are confident about the growth that we have outlined for the coming financial year. I hope that clarifies your question.
So you are suggesting it doesn't include renewal. So what would be the mix between renewal and new? And what would be the, let's say, roll-off or existing revenue which will taper off? If you can give some sense around those numbers.
I'm really sorry. Your voice was breaking. I don't know. Maybe it's something at my end, but I could not follow the question clearly.
Sir, can you hear me now clearly, sir?
Yes. Little better.
My question.
Little better.
Yeah, my question. Okay. So my question is about, you said we give only net new and existing new kind of thing. We doesn't include renewal in our number. That is what you indicated, right?
Sorry, I'm very sorry, but I'm not able to follow the question at all.
Sir, maybe I take it up.
So Divakar, if you heard the question, can you repeat it for me? Sorry.
Dipesh, sir, if you are using a speakerphone, may we request you use a handset and re-ask the question once again?
Yeah, Dipesh, your voice is very clear.
Now, if you can hear me, I don't know whether you can hear me now.
Yes. Now you are clear.
Yeah, so the question is about the booking. You said we give only net new and existing new. Renewal is not covered there. So if you can give me what is the mix between renewal and that new portion. And second question around the same thing is about what would be the, let's say, typical conversion of those things in terms of what would be the tenure to convert this booking to revenue.
Yeah. So look, typically in every quarter, you know, looking at our run rate about roughly 150 to 200 days renewal at any point of time in a quarter. So if I add that, we are above the 733. You know, also keep in mind, Dipesh, that this quarter, like we said, as a reset quarter, there was certain kind of business that we have not, that we have been staying away from. So that temporary impact is also there in quarter four, and it will continue to quarter one and quarter two. And from a conversion, is your question that how is the conversion in the year from a ACV perspective? Is that your question into the revenue?
But the question is about, I hope I am audible now. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, so my question is about what will be the revenue consumption happen in a, from booking perspective? Let's say you have 568 crore. Typically 568, what will be the tenure of that contract?
So most of our contracts are typically 3-year contracts, you know, 3-year plus. However, in the technology and data business, we also see, you know, 1-year contracts, because some of that work is project related work.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Gaurav from Capital Farming Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for giving an opportunity. I hope my voice is audible.
Yes.
Thanks. So my first question is, I think, a follow-up on the same question, in the deck that we have published post Q4 results, that in the Q4 we have declared a TCV of 568 CR, right? So if you can guide that, what was the TCV for the entire FY25, and out of that, how much has been converted into revenue within the FY25, and how much is expected to be converted into revenue in FY26 and onwards? That is my first question.
Okay, and sorry, go ahead. What's your second question?
Yeah. So second question will be, we are starting with FY26 with a capital, with an equity base of approximately 900 CR, right? And we aspire to have a return on equity of 18%, whereas currently we are running approximately 12% ROI, ROE, right? So assuming that our target of 18% by FY31, that is 6 years from now, any midterm plan that by so and so year, let's say by FY28, we plan to achieve at least ROE of 15%, right? Which will include our capital allocation policy as well, because we have intended that we would be looking for inorganic growth via some acquisition. So I'm assuming over here that whatever cash flow we will be generating, company will be preserving that cash flow for strengthening the balance sheet and having the proper cash to ascertain that the acquisition is there, right, in a couple of years down the line. So these are my two questions as of now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so on the first one, and I think Dipesh had also asked this question, you know, typically our benchmark is that for the bookings that we have done in the previous year, there's a revenue realization of about 55% to 58%, okay? Because typically the contracts that you book in the first quarter, within the same year, they give you about 40%, but obviously from the previous year, the benchmark is about 55% to 58%, which is an industry benchmark, and we are in line with that. On your second question, and Suraj, if you want to chime in on that, but the way I understood is our appetite, what gives us the runway for acquisition, right? So look, we are a zero debt company. So even if we were to be under 2 leverage, you know, we can raise debt up to 1800 crores, which gives us both the confidence and runway for any inorganic strategy that you want to execute. So the strong balance sheet is going to help us essentially.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hopefully I'm audible.
Slightly muffled. If you can be closer to the phone.
Yeah. Hi. Is this better, sir?
Much better.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So just from, you know, just wanted to, you know, kind of get a few clarifications from what we've, you know, kind of spoken about right now. So we are seeing like 100 basis points EBITDA can be suppressed due to, you know, a lot of investment and restructuring that we are going to do. So that would be over FY25 or FY24 base, because they also are slightly different, so.
Okay. So as we had mentioned earlier, in FY26, we should expect a 100-150 basis point dip, given all the investments that we are making, all the restructuring that we are doing, and the business model pivot that we are doing. So we stay consistent with that. And as in one of the previous questions, it was asked that, you know, versus H1 versus H2, yes, H2 we will start seeing the build-up. But for the full year, we stay consistent with a 100 to 150 basis point dip in FY26.
Okay, fair enough, sir. And in terms of revenue, sir, how do we see FY26 panning out, sir?
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at our history, we have grown, if you look at the last 4 years, we have grown at about 12% CAGR, right? With all the changes that we are making, all the focus we are bringing, we believe we should be in that cohort, despite the restructuring that we are doing, the one-time restructuring and one-time exit from the low-value non-core areas of focus. So we should be in the mid-teens.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rakinath from Nasir Investment. Please go ahead.
Good evening and congratulations on a decent listing. My question again would go back to your relationship with Quess. Would you maintain the same kind of dividend distribution policy which Quess has been doing thus far, sir?
Yeah. So, you know, and thank you for your congratulatory note. When it comes to the dividend policy, that's something that we are working on. And when we do the quarter one release, we'll talk about that. However, I also want to reiterate, given that we are very focused on growth, given our 3X strategy of 3X revenue growth, our priority is going to be investing in the business for growth. That will be our priority, whether it is organic growth or inorganic growth. But we will be coming up with a comprehensive dividend policy when we do the next earnings call.
Sure. And in terms of your top line growth, so we could expect around 7-8% on a certainty basis over 26, March 25 to 26? I mean, a combined growth of like 7-8%?
Yeah, I think at a minimum, we should be better than that, you know. And like I said, that we are also taking some restructuring, taking some calls on the non-core business. Yes, net of that, we should definitely be better than that.
And so one previous question, it was asked that whether this 100 bps dip in EBITDA would be over 25 or 24. So could we be looking more of a 13% or a 12% ish EBITDA, sir?
So I think when we are exiting the year, we should be back into the 13.5% cohort when we are exiting the year.
Thank you. The next question comes from Raj Shah from Flair Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. My question was regarding EBITDA margin only. So it is like if we are closing at around 13 or 13.5%, like can we see the same margin from the next quarter?
Oh, of course. Like I said, we'll be closing when we exit the year, we'll be in that cohort, and then obviously, you know, by that time, all the impact of the changes would be behind us, and we will be looking at improvement from thereafter. Because as we have been saying that in the long term, medium to long term, we expect a 200 to 300 basis points improvement after the, you know, 1 year, in the first year where we expect 100 to 150 points dip. So absolutely, after that, you should see the things going up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Naresh Naikar from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good evening, sir. The digital business is the business are doing extremely good. All the verticals are performing. But if you know, the investors are extremely concerned about the subdued listing and the current stock market price of Quess and Digitide. So when the investor assume that whenever demerger happens, the some value unlocking will happen. But in our case, it doesn't happen, sir. I just want to know what are the other efforts you are taking to improve the visibility of company among the market.
So, thank you for your question. So, from a visibility perspective, yes, we got listed about 2 weeks back.
Right.
You know, our first intent was to, you know, focus on the demerger and the successful listing, which we have done. You know, second was to relaunch our brand, which we have done. Right.
Okay.
In fact, we did a customer event in Mumbai, which was attended by 200 of our customers and partners. Right.
Okay.
We have been reaching out to the investor community, both the buy side and sell side, and that coverage will continue. Yes, given that there was a silence period and then another silence period, we had a very short window, you know.
Okay.
But that is an activity which we will continue. You would also have seen a couple of our press interactions, both from Mr. Ajit Isaac and myself. So that people at large know what we are doing, where we are doing. In fact, today's Economic Times has actually carried a very nice article on Digitide. Related to the 19 greatest places to work, which is a complement to our business, right? You can see that it's in the Economic Times, an article that the paper has published. So yeah, I mean, look, starting with, at the end of the day, you know, we have to focus on our customers and partners first, right, which we are doing, along with making our investors understand our value thesis, which I think we've been making that effort. And then, of course, you know, the social media and the brand awareness, which I hope if you have noticed in the last 6 months, you know, given a relatively new brand, our social media presence has gone up immensely.
Understood, sir. Yeah. But after demerger, there is no broker report covering on Blue Sling and Digitide, sir. So I haven't seen report.
Yeah, so like I said, look, we we were in a silent period till about 6th of June. So the first interactions we started with the sell side was actually in the first week of June, you know.
Okay.
So now I think shortly hereafter you will start seeing our coverage in the reports, the sell side reports.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Yash, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Sir, you're sounding muffled. Are you using speakerphone? May we request you use handset, please?
No, handset only. Okay, and yeah, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great listing. So we have been waiting for this for a long time. And my question to the leadership team is that, so we have made very good operating cash flow of 324 crores, and also free cash flow is 260 crores. But obviously, profit margin is mostly hit by the depreciation and amortization to the tune of 192 crores. So just want to understand, are these any one-time things, or going forward, the depreciation and amortization amounts continue to be on that line only? So just want to clarify on that. Yeah, thank you.
Suresh, sure. Do you want to take
yes?
This? Yeah,
I'll take that, Kavit. Thank you, Yash. So thank you for the question, Yash. So in this business where the lease premises are fundamental to our delivery model for a BPM, that will remain as a fact of our cash flow segment in that sense. But if you have looked at our long-term strategy where our BPM portfolio will be not growing as fast as the tech and digital, this component of our lease liabilities will also keep on reducing. So on the long-term perspective, if you look at the composition where we are looking at is mostly on the US geography as well as on the tech and digital side of things, where this will not be a big component in our mix. So in the current state of things, we're almost 73% of our business is from BPM. That's why you'll find that significant in terms of the overall portfolio. But this will keep tapering down as we go forward towards the FY31 journey. Does that answer the question? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So because even the prior caller has mentioned, the market hasn't taken note, because probably most people, they go with the income statement. That was the reason. So though we made excellent numbers in the operating cash flows and also, I think so that was the reason I asked this question. And all the best for your team, and good luck to all the employees here. Thank you.
Thank you, Yash.
Thank you. The next question comes from Shubham, an investor. Please go ahead.
No. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah, so my question is also very similar to the previous participant, right? So if I see the EBITDA margin for last year or this year, it is around 15%. But when it comes to PAT, it is around like 5% PAT margin, right? So there is a 10% kind of thing that goes into depreciation and lease accounting and all that, right? So how will that shape up? Like, we have the clarity on EBITDA margin, like it will be 18%, like that is what you have guided for FY31, right? But what about the PAT margin and like how will the free cash flow look like? Like, what is the percentage on that? Do we have understanding on that also?
Sure. I can take that. So Shubham, what you see is that from a lease Ind AS 116 accounting perspective, you would find that from an EBITDA, you can safely assume around 5% of it goes into our lease depreciation accounting, so to say. So from that onward towards the PAT, we have now for the first year, you will have a independent tax liability for Digitide. We have been part of CREST earlier, where the overall tax obligation was virtually nil, given the tax positions CREST had. Now, that will be an incremental impact, which is factored in your 525 numbers. Now, going forward, the linearity of our EBITDA would be as what Prometheus guided to. And the PAT, you would find it climbing more steeply because, as I mentioned earlier, the lease liabilities would be a smaller component in the overall mix of revenue. And at the same time, we have at a effective tax rate, which will be more or less basically constant. So with the growth trajectory we have set for ourselves, our PAT margin should be expanding slightly higher than your EBITDA margins in the normal course of business.
Okay. And sir, do we have a number for that? Like 18%, I suppose our EBITDA margin is 18, right? What will the PAT margin look like? Have we modeled that also? Like, can we put a number also to that, an approximate number?
No, not at the moment, Shubham. One thing which you have to keep in mind also is that we have pursued this inorganic strategy also as one of our levers. So that will also play into the larger scheme of things when it comes to the PAT. And we are fairly confident that with the inorganic, we'll be able to grow that faster than the EBITDA. But at the moment, I would not be able to give you a number to put it right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, that was the last question. I now hand the conference back over to Mr. Gurmeet Chahal for closing comments.
Thank you. First of all, thank you everyone for joining our inaugural call. Thank you for your questions. If there were some questions that we could not cover, please channel them to us and we will definitely, address those. Once again, thank you. And we are very excited about Digitide. We are very excited about the value that we are going to create for our employees, our customers, and our shareholders. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Digitide Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.